Good afternoon. Welcome to It Is Time with Mark Seebach. I'm Mark Seebach, and I always begin my shows with a little prayer, and I hope you'll join in. Thank you, creation, for the gift of this day. In honor of this gift, I will live every moment as the present it is. Thank you. So, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're week is starting off well. Today I don't have a guest, and I thought I'd talk about Halloween, and since it's that time of year, and possibly what Halloween was at its beginnings, what it was used for, and maybe come to a better understanding of what we're kind of celebrating in Halloween. So anyway, of course, it goes back to Celtic traditions, and it was actually to honor those that had died the previous year in a household, and those that we call trick-or-treaters now would go to house and pray for anyone who was lost during the previous year, and if it was so inclined that then they received what they called soul cakes, which were sweetened little cakes for their prayers. And what that's evolved into is a money-making materialistic thing. And when the kids get cavities and the dentist makes some money too, and not, of course, there's no intent behind that other than candy makers wanting to sell more candy and costume makers and such. And, well, that's the way the society is. But as far as worried about spirits, or the spirits come out, or the negative spirits come out, or more potent, the only potency a negative entity would have is the power or magic that you give it through your fear of it. It's not really any more powerful than a good spirit, and as I said, it, same way, whatever power you give it with your free will is what gives it its power. And of course, we're in a very fear-based society right now, so that's one of the reasons why Halloween is kind of, it's like, I always thought that we should try to live Christmas, the Christmas spirit all year round, and what we come to is the Halloween spirit in the negative sense all year round, with fear, and want to watch movies that scare us and titillate us, and the younger generation just love those hack and bloody, and the dead coming to life and eating people and all that stuff, and it's, you know, once in a while for titillation maybe, but geez, you know, it's just like a constant diet of it, and it ends up numbing people to the real reality of causing pain, and what pain, and I'm not talking about physical pain, but emotional pain and spiritual pain, really, and numbs people to this very insidious mind thought of fear. And so I'd like anybody to call in that has any thoughts on that. I mean, I certainly think that way. I don't know about other people. I mean, some people say, oh, no, you can't do anything around it because it's not God. And, well, yeah, but, you know, God isn't just good. God is good and evil. I mean, you can't separate. He's one. It's one. And won't even say he, she, whatever you want to, gender you want to give to the one, the creator. It's not separate from evil. And really the only evil is the separation that's created by man and maintained by man. It's not really evil. It's basically egotistical. So I don't agree with those who would say, oh, it's a pagan holiday. Well, if you get down to it, most of our holidays are based on paganism, regardless of what assignation we've put on it to Christianize or otherwise change a holiday to more easily accept as a religion of a certain faith or other. it's not good or bad. It's, you know, we know it's the way it is. And we know we have to live with that. But I have no problem with celebrating the lives of those who have passed from this third dimensional reality that we call life, and but not to pray for their spirits. Their spirits are, or their souls are, exactly where they're supposed to be on their path. So you celebrate the time that you had with those people while they were here on the path, and remember the good times. It's, you don't remember the day of their death as something, you know, that was just a transition day. The rest of their life is what's important, and what they contributed to you on your path, and celebrate that. And don't invoke negative type entities through fear. You know, it should be a wonderful celebration. So I guess, Mariah, are you going to join us today? Yeah? No, it's okay. You may join us. I was just discussing Halloween. What does Halloween mean to you, since you haven't heard what I've said so far?
Halloween means to me having fun with your friends and dressing up and getting free candy. But then I just heard a story about what it was really supposed to be, that you're supposed to, your people went to other people's houses and asked you to die and prayed for them, the dead souls, because it's close to All Hallows Eve, or, yeah. So, that's what I think.
So, was that because you just heard me speaking, or had you heard the story somewhere else?
I heard the story myself.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I was unaware that she was aware of that, but in any event, yeah, and, you know, there's another thing where they used to carve turnips in Scotland, like pumpkins, which was pretty interesting. I don't know how that would look, or if you could get a candle, it must be pretty big turnips. That's, you know, it's a fairly interesting holiday. I mean, but if you take it at what I said, which is the celebration of the lives of those who have passed, and of course you wish them well on their journey, and you hope that they're not tied to this plane of existence, which can happen if we die, or we not die but pass, thinking that this third dimensional world is the reality of our existence, when really it's just part of an eternal existence as souls or spirit. If anybody's out there and would like to call, our toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. only. Our Canadian toll-free is 888-815-9756. And then there's our direct line, which is 530-876-3222. Because, once again, I would love to hear from anyone who's out there and wants to speak about this subject. We are discussing Halloween and what it was, what it is, how my position is that we shouldn't fall to fear in anything. It shouldn't be a holiday of celebration of fear. It's pretty much a celebration of life for those who have passed, and also helping them to continue on their path. And so, Mariah, are you planning on attending any Halloween parties, costume parties, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I already had one on Saturday. That was pretty fun. It was a small group of people. I had a great time. And there's going to be one tomorrow night in the mountains, so I hope that'll be fun, too. Probably really cold, but hopefully it'll be fun. I plan to go with Snow White. It's a very awesome costume that my mother made for me because I love her very much. So, shout out to her.
Oh, shout out. Yeah, that's very nice. And I guess I did see it. I didn't see her in it, but I saw it. It is pretty interesting looking. I guess, you know, children will be children. I don't particularly look for costume parties to go to, but, you know, entertainment. Yay! So she's still going, Mariah's still going well, so I assume she did all right at the party and enjoyed herself. But she's been battling a cold-type flu thing that I think she's finally gotten over, and I'm glad to have her back with me. It's a beautiful day in New Mexico today, just to let you all know, beautiful fall day. Trees are changing color, predominantly a yellowish gold about the city. We don't have too many hardwood trees out here in New Mexico. If you get up into the mountains and the canyons and the aspen leaves turn golden, then you'll have pockets of maple or oak, and they'll add the reds and the oranges to the color. So it's quite beautiful this time of year. And it's a beautiful sunshiny day with not a cloud in the sky, blue skies, and in the mid-60s right now. Probably be a high about 72, which would be nice, but here we are talking on the radio. Let's see, what else is going on? The Halloween thing is full bore, I guess. I've seen a lot of things going on, and it kind of bothers me that it's so commercialized. And it kind of takes away from what it's about. But it should be emphasized that it truly is about celebrating life, not celebrating death. Celebrating the life of those that have passed. Is there anything interesting you've come across, Mariah, that you might like to talk about today concerning Halloween?
Let's see. I've been watching watching TV this last week and noticing all the scary movies on. And I guess, it goes into a lot of fear stuff. Like, and I thought it was so funny the other day. Me and my friends were telling scary stories on the car ride over to the costume party. And they were talking about their favorite scary stories when they were little, like about the boogeyman and just imaginary figures. And they asked me what my favorite spooky story was, and I just made up one, but I made it sound like it was a true story. Well, I heard this from, it's not really a made up story, I didn't hear this, but my aunties told me about the land that I used to live on in the mountains way back past this second arroyo that was real creepy, and I could never walk past it. There was a shack, and a bunch of bad stuff happened there, and it freaked them out so bad that they'd never been scared like that before. But I realized my trick of it was that I made it seem it happened in real life. It wasn't just a story that happened a long time ago, and there's like La Llorona, like a witch. It was actually happened in my world. So then that kind of disturbed me a little bit that I had to do that to make the story scary. And that's just my point. That's what's really new and I've been thinking about lately, is how much that it affected them. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like you used the trademark of fear, which is illusion. You found that if you put it in a certain way and made it more contemplative, more contemporary that it actually happened to you, or you're someone you knew, you gave that illusion of reality to it, which is more titillating because it, you can imagine the place it was because it's familiar to you, so that you can then put the little movie screen in your head going, which is a lot like what reading a book can do, or listening to the radio where they're telling a story, a descriptive story. But truly, most fear is based on illusion. It's an illusion that your mind creates, that all the possibilities and focusing on the negative possibilities will get your adrenaline going because it's the fight or flight response. And that's what fear is. It's a natural response, but it's the most basic response, maybe is the best way to put it, is that you're in fear for your existence or something, the unknown. And then that, the unknown that you would fear is what you conjure up in your mind. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, that was like, yeah, that's okay, but it's just scary. I like it.
Well, no, that's the conclusion I came to, too, pretty much. It's just, you put it in better words. So, yes, I agree. Straightforward, yes.
Well, yeah. And, so, you know, I hope anyone that's listening is fearful of anything really takes that into account. It is, usually, you know, let's say you have a bill passed due. Well, you think of all the things that could happen if your bill is passed due, as far as get shut off, I don't know what all else, you know, depending on what it is. And people get so wound up in that that they create a fear which makes them act in a way that is more concentrated on doing something that is to their fear rather than to their sense of right and wrong, as far as this is what I need to do because it needs to get done and I will accomplish it in the time that I can do it. I can go back. My eldest daughter always was afraid of me, and I never could understand why. And I used the well-practiced 1-2-3 method of telling her not to do something, three being the ultimate thing. So I instilled fear, which was a terrible thing to do. And she has memories of getting beat that never happened. And I don't know why that is. I mean, it's not like she's running to the police and saying, oh, I was abused, because she wasn't. But I remember I kind of used fear in that I would send her to the room and say, wait for me, go wait for me in your room. Because I knew the anticipation of what was coming was much, much worse than anything that I would do. And I always went in and said, do you understand why you're being punished? And, you know, I never struck my daughters in anger, and I never would. I would use it to bring home a point because I was taught that until I found that that wasn't true, and it was a spanking. It wasn't a beating per se. I mean, open-handed. And so I taught my daughters fear, and I regret that to this day. It doesn't make them any more survivable having that. They just know to use their imagination to conjure up what could possibly happen rather than looking at things. You use their imagination for looking at things and looking at ways through things rather than being in fearful of what is impending. But I went for a nice walk in New Mexico just the other day and took some pictures. They're up on my website, www.myspace.com/per Prophet 54. If you'd like to see some pictures of New Mexico, I just took them on Sunday, I believe. Yes, Sunday. It's interesting because it's high desert here, which means we're above a mile high, but it's still desert until you get into the mountainous regions. And the interesting thing is that the nature points out your needs, and especially this time of year, in that it'll show where water is, because the trees that love water are basically hardwood trees, and they turn yellow gold. So you'll be looking out over a brownish, reddish brown thing, and you'll see a splotch of gold, and you can say, there's water. That's a water source. And so it's something to remember if you're ever out in the desert also, especially this time of year. You look for water sign by the color of the tree, and anything that stands out from the landscape would probably be water sign. And but let's see what else. I don't want to speak about politics because it's not politics anymore. It's pretty much desperation on the parts of those in power to hold on to that power. Let's see, the wildfires in California, I understand that a number were arson, and now they've had fires in Hawaii that are also arson sets. All I can say to that is I hope they catch the perpetrators and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. And I do send my well-meaning intentions to those who were affected by the fire, and hope that they use wisdom to go on and know that these things happen and are usually meant to build us up in some way, learn a lesson, and move on. And hopefully whatever lessons can be learned will be learned. But I do send my heartfelt prayers and blessings to those in California affected by the fires, and most especially those who have breathing problems, because they're the more widely affected than those who actually lost their homes, but also to those who lost their homes. My heartfelt condolences on that. But as long as you have your lives and those around you, this is what's important. And those who did lose loved ones, know that there was a reason for their time of going. Celebrate their life, not their passing. Remember them well, for that is what they've left you. That is their legacy, what all their your experiences with them. Let's see what else we got going. There's a couple of news stories out there concerning the extraterrestrial presence. One is in London, in England, where they're going to have NASA photos on display from a satellite that's a million miles away from Earth, which are quite interesting, and you can find that at BBC.com. And then the Enterprise mission, it will be having a news conference at the press club in Washington, D.C., upcoming. I'm not sure of the date. I don't have that in front of me. But it's very, very informative. And whether you believe or don't believe, there's overwhelming evidence of not only their presence, but contact and foreknowledge of this, and hidden knowledge, and a disinformation campaign. I think the biggest thing is that they say disclosure will rupture society, and make people panic. And I come to think that it's way past whenever Orson Welles did War of the Worlds. And they're here and they have evil intent, when it's going, whatever's going to happen happens. I myself don't ascribe that to any one species of beings. Man is the one that would do that. Humanity is more likely to do those evil, what we perceive evil things, if someone has enough intelligence and has enough evolution to come to this planet, either through space or by bending space or through interdimensional travel. They can do with us as they will, because they have. And I think we need to get a grasp on our own humanity and understanding of ourselves as individual beings, and the power that comes with the free will that we've been given, and understand that we have nothing to fear. And if we learn from our experiences and take them as the lessons they are, instead of berating ourselves, then we move along on this path. And no matter what comes, it really is just part of a lesson of life. And you adapt and survive. You take your lessons, learn them, and move on. And that's truly what we're kind of here for. It's our school. This thing that we hold on so dear, it doesn't mean I'm just, by the way, I'm not advocating going on to spiritual at your choice of time. That's not what I mean by free will. Free will is you live your life as best you can every moment of every day. And when the time comes, the time comes. Whether it's quickly or drawn out, or you die peacefully in your sleep, it doesn't matter. The time comes, it'll be, you know, you're always where you're supposed to be. Okay? Always. It's not like you have to go somewhere to find yourself. I mean, you're always with yourself. So it's not an outer journey, it's an inner journey, and it's not far. You know, it's as far as your love. That's, you know, I never ask anyone to believe anything I say, but to look in their hearts and find their own truth from their own experiences, and not necessarily what they've read of other people's opinions and other people's takes on the meaning of life. Their own understanding and their own hearts of what the meaning of life is. And where there's confusion, try to find the lessons that will take the confusion away. And it really doesn't come down to a belief system. It really doesn't. It comes down to what have you actually experienced? What have you learned through your life? And instead of taking the negative and not thinking about those lessons, take the negative and look at them objectively by stepping back and seeing what lessons you've learned from it. And I'm not going to give any examples, but I think you can pretty much, you know what I'm talking about. Many people avoid the negative things, don't want to think about them because they're hurtful and painful. Well, if they still cause you hurt and pain, and it's not the moment, it's causing a burden to you for no reason. Learn the lesson, move on, and make sure it's the correct lesson with your heart, not with your mind, because it can be, your mind can cause the illusion. Okay, yeah. If you'd like to talk about this and argue with me or agree with me or say hello, I'd appreciate it. Our numbers are in the U.S. 1-877-876-5227. In Canada, it'd be 1-888-815-9756. And then the direct line would be 1-530-876-3222. And I'd ask all those who are understanding of the light to come. I send out my invitation to you, my energy, to accidentally come to this radio, this internet site, and listen and participate and add what you understand to be your truth. Because I know that our truths are the same. They're inherent. It's common sense. It's all these things that if you negate those things, negative things that you've learned about what you can't do, what you shouldn't think because of fear, think about that. You know, those things that they say, oh, don't do that because this will happen to you. If it's not in your experience that those things have happened to you, you know, I'm not saying the most basic things like thou shalt not kill. No, don't kill anyone. You know, don't hurt any. Don't steal. Don't. I'm trying to think of going through what those things are. I mean, they're the most basic things. And most basic is do to others what you would have them do to you. You know, if you would rather have somebody frown at you and then go around doing that, but if you would rather be smiled at, smile first. And throw good energy out rather than being consumed by the negative and thrusting out negative, which in turn is responded with negative. There's no reason not to like yourself. Even if you haven't learned the lessons, one lesson you should learn is you are a student, no matter how old you are. I am a student. We're all students. And when you're not a student, nobody will see you here because you'll have ascended. So it's pretty much, you know, we're all learning as we go. But the truths are always there. They're self-evident. They're those things that progress you into an understanding of human nature instead of saying, I can't do this because humans are like this all the time, and they have been in the past. Well, it is time to get past that and stop falling back into the same ruts of what humans have always done, because that's why, you know, if you don't learn from history, you're apt to repeat it. That's, you know, it's pretty plain. It says it right there. And it's not only history of the human race, but history in your life, history in your relationships. Those histories, you know, you learn. You learn not to put yourself out too far, but to put yourself out, to let your people know who you are so that you can meet like-minded people, like-hearted people who have an understanding of what the truths are. And as you're ready, those truths are revealed. You'll never know God's intent because unless you turn into God. And God's within you, but you'll never know all those things. I mean, that's so far out there. I mean, so far in the future, shall we say. But truths are available, and it's not a higher or lower or more learned or less learned, or it's all one equal plane. It's just kind of like when you're ready, you learn and you understand. And one of the greatest misconceptions is that if someone's a master, they are better or should be idealized or worshipped. Well, not unless it's in your heart to be like this master is, but it may not be your path to do that. And it should never be in a worshipful manner, just respect and understanding that they know truths that you aren't ready for and you would like to get ready. How do you get ready? By learning every day. So, Mariah, what do you think of that?
I think it's all true. I like to think of it as, like, just think of your happy thought and just be happy. You got to be in the now, so you can't worry about having fear. And if some people are afraid of change, but change is what makes us grow. Like, if you didn't change, you'd still be an infant. So there has to be change, and to me, it's kind of, it's not whether you believe or disbelieve that there's other beings out there. It's if you accept it or not, because they're there. It's known. If you don't think they're there, it's because you don't listen to the people that say they're there, and you listen to the people that try to discredit those people because they don't want you to know that they're there. And just like with people, there are good, bad people, there are good and bad other beings, and the good ones are going to help us, and the bad ones are going to try to hurt us, and we got to realize it and stop being ignorant of it, and all come together, and if we want to be good ones, be with the good ones, and help us, help everybody, help each other, help yourselves, come together, everybody, right now, over me.
Yay, Mariah! Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's nice, but, you know, it, as I said earlier, and you might not have listened to the whole show and just tuned in, anything that's negative, any power it has is the power we give it with our fear of it, with our notion of what power it has. We give it that power. And if we say, you have no power over me, through God's will and my free will, then they have no power over you. Will things try to insidiously get in? Yes, always. Always. And it comes to feeling, being able to feel those types of energies and recognize them for what they are and saying, no, by my free will and by God's will, I choose not to recognize you, and you are not welcome. And they have to obey that. They have to. It's just the way it is. And yes, there is evil intent, but it's normally evil intent of man. Okay, man against man, or woman against woman, or woman against man, or vice versa, and so on and so forth. It has nothing to do with anything to do with creation. Creation is love, yes. But anti-creation isn't hate, it's fear. And because fear will end up paralyzing you into inaction, so then your free will doesn't matter. Because you don't exercise it, because you're afraid to. And why give that to anyone? No one has the right to take that from you. It was a gift, freely given, and it's the most powerful gift we have. And it's great to listen to people's opinions, but don't take on those opinions by their argument. Take on your own opinion by your discernment of what the arguments are, what's provable, what isn't. If you just take things and say it's true because so-and-so said it, you got no basis for your argument and for your own belief or, you know, your own knowledge. And it goes all the way to all any books that are written. It is the collection of that person's thoughts on a written page. And if it's many people writing in the same book, then that's many people's knowledge of their knowledge. But you take that and put it within your own knowledge of the way you perceive the world. and come to your own conclusions, which should always be open, because as Mariah said, change is what nature is. Change is what we are. And to ascribe to things over and over again and do the same things out of habit is not natural. It's not what we were made to do. We were made to learn and grow and change. And I would ask anyone to think of that first, then feel it. I mean, feel it in your heart, exactly what that means. Is you can read as many books as you want, but until you experience it yourself, you don't know whatever it is. I've had experiences in my life that I know weren't skewed perceptions, that were absolute truth perceptions, that give me knowledge that if I was to say it, you'd say, oh, prove that. Well, I can't. All I can say is, it's truth to me by my experience. Is it malleable? Yes, because as I learn more truth, it will add, but it won't take away from that original truth. It will just add to it. And it's not that I stay on one train of thought. It's just this is what my perceptions lead me to. I mean, we're all, if you all look, we're all scientists in that we're all the observer into what's the reality for us, around us. But once again, in this society, we're led to believe certain things. We're led by the information we get, who presents it, how it's presented, how it's phrased, all these things. One of the things I'll say is I hardly ever watch television anymore. And when I do, I find it, I don't know, very distracting. Not only from whatever I'm trying to watch, because then you have all the commercials that come on. And there's one network that my wife was watching a movie on. It was 5 minutes of the movie, and then 10 minutes of commercial, and almost every commercial had violence in it. And it was like crazy. I mean, if people couldn't see that this was inciting violence in their minds and hearts, I don't know what they were thinking, if anything. And that's pretty much designed for that you don't think, that you just exist. Don't be, just exist. And just be a tool for some other people. And, you know, you can choose that life. It's very easy to choose, and it's very easy to go along, to get along. And it's not easy to actually think, because you have questions, and when you have the questions and you can't answer them, and you try to get the answers, you have to take everything in and then make your own decision. But that's what we're made to do as human beings. We're not made to just go along with the flow. We're made to question those things that are against natural law. And that's what many, 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 many millions, if not billions of people are doing right now. It's happening. It is time. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. You know, turn, turn, turn. That's the birds. it's there. It's happening. And it's not a question of why. It doesn't matter why. It's happening. One of the reasons why is because it's natural, and that nature changes, always changes. And much of the consciousness on this planet is changing. Much is remaining the same, if not getting worse, as far as narrowing of views and the narrowing of what reality is. And it's, you know, there's a skeptic who has said, a trained observer is no better than a non-trained observer. which I'll agree with him at, which means that all science is dependent on the observer. And I don't care how many books you've read or how many degrees you have, you're still a trained observer. And you bring your own biases and your own certainties of what the outcome will be to whatever you're doing. So you are affecting what you are studying. So what is that what is the reality then? It is the reality of ego. Those who have the biggest egos publish the biggest books. Then you put ego with finances, then you have those who have the biggest egos and have the most money get their books promoted the most, and so on and so forth. And I'm not putting that down. Just that's the way it is. And we're coming up with maybe about 10 minutes left. So if you got any calls, if you're out there, please give us a call. Our U.S. toll-free number is 1-877-876-5227. I'll say it again real slow. Write down this number, 1-877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. And in Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And then a direct line is 1-530-876-3222. Okay, well, that took 5 minutes. Well, anyway. Yes, what are your thoughts on that? Those perceptions of mine, Mariah, do they coincide with what your perceptions and understandings are?
Yeah, pretty much. I can't word it a better way. It makes sense. A lot of times with my dad, you got to realize that it's not just Mark Seebach coming through. There's a change in his eye, and you can't really get it. You can kind of hear it in his voice over the radio, and I hope it touches you the way it touches some people. But it's stuff coming through him. And so I can't, it's not that I just agree with my dad all the time. It's just in my heart I hear no untruth in that. I take everything he says and I take it in and try to listen to it fully and completely with my whole self and spirit. So I hope you do the same. And I hope you just realize in what's going on around you, what you hear, all the information coming in all the time, which there is, it is coming in all the time. Would it be use discernment? Would that be the word?
Discernment.
Yeah, use discernment and try to realize what's the truth, whether and take it out of your mind so there's not the fear and not the ego and the pride of it, but the truth. It's like if you ever had that moment when you're so close to someone and you know you can tell when they're lying to you because they blink a lot or they get a little smile in the corners of their mouth or something you can tell that you know they're lying. Use that's what you have. That's the same thing you do when you hear information. The same little things you pick up or the instincts you have. We all have it and. Go by that. Go follow your hearts. It's said it so many times in books and movies and fairy tales. You know, it's all about following your heart and just understand the rules of the universe. It's not everything you want, you get, but anything you need, you will receive.
Okay. Well, thank you for those compliments, I guess. But I'm glad that I touch your heart, Mariah. I touch my own heart. It's like she says, there's times that I am a conduit. I don't like channeling. I don't like to use the term channeling because I'm not going to give you a name of someone that I'm channeling, because it doesn't matter. The name of who is coming doesn't matter. Know that it comes from the light of creation. Whoever, whatever consciousness comes through me is from that light of creation. And it is not anything that you don't know. I'm a reminder. That's all I am. I'm a reminder. I'm not a teacher. You've been taught. You've been taught over all those times that you've been here to learn your lessons. You've been taught. It's most important now, though, because it is time. I'm not going to call it the end of the world. It is somewhat the apocalypse in that the light is being shed on those things that have been hidden. It's not dark secrets. There's no secret within the light of creation. There's nothing hidden other than the immense intent and thought that we'll never know of creation, but we know it for our benefit in that we are the children of creation, all of us, every human being that can hear my voice. You are a child of creation. Yes, you're also the child of man and woman, but the spirit, the soul, is the child of creation, is also part of creation. And you are loved. Loved, loved, loved. You are forgiven. Well, as you forgive, you have to forgive to be forgiven. Not only others, but yourself. Most importantly, yourself. Because we are the most abusive of jailers to ourselves. And the ones that say you're not worthy, and we are all worthy. And we're never unworthy. Do we have unworthy thoughts? Unworthy intent? Yes. But what should be learned from that is that those don't move you along on the path. And if you choose that, say, okay, well, I don't want to move along on the path. I'm very comfortable. That's okay, too. That's all right, too. I mean, it's for each person individually to come to terms with who they are, what their being is, and that it's all connected with everyone else. And whether they realize it, I love them anyway, myself. I love all creatures of creation, from the lowest to the highest. I love all creatures of creation because they are of creation. It's as simple as that. And in being of creation, they are creation. And those that are of a spiritual consciousness, I honor them. I honor them and I bow to the light of creation within them. That is why I say namaste, because I do bow in greeting and humble respect to the light of creation within each creature that has been created with love. And okay, we're running up on the time now. Thank you so much for listening. I hope I've touched you in some way. Please don't listen to my words and believe them. I want you to listen to my words. Put them into your own words. Ask your heart whether these words are true to you. And if they are, live to your heart. Live to your love. And live in the light of creation. Namaste, my friends. And have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.